Welcome into another edition of See What's On. Our guest today is Steve Clark, who you probably don't know, but you'll know who he is playing for sure. He is with the band Kiss Army, a premier Kiss tribute band, who will appear on November 14th at 8 o'clock at the New Elm up there in Waterville on 21 College Avenue. So, Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning to you.
Great. Where are we catching up with you today? You're in...
In Louisville, Kentucky at the moment. I'm not sure when this is going to air. Maybe it's good afternoon or good evening, but in any case...
It's Louisville, Kentucky. That's not a problem. So,
yeah.
Well, welcome into the show. So you're performing the role of Peter Criss in Kiss Army on the 14th. What can you tell me about all of that?
I mean, you pretty much hit the nail on the head. Representing Peter Criss is pretty much all that's what my thing is. And, replicating him at a moment of where nobody can argue with, his skills. I mean, there's people that in the here and now that tend to kind of dumb down some of the contributions of, later members or outside of even Gene and Paul in almost any era. But, Peter and Ace, and especially in our group, we give them every bit of due respect, as all four of them. I mean, We represent them with the impact that, like a motion picture kind of delivery. I mean, when they talk about how they became the band they never saw on stage, well, it's our goal to kind of show them, what they're talking about in that, if they were on the other side watching, to replicate what the impact was of the four of them one by one by name, not so much really by character. I mean, any diehard Kiss fan can look back on the days, growing up in the 70s when all of this was happening the first time around, and you never really got a reference so much to the space guy or the cat guy. I mean, it was always, you want to be Ace Frehley, or you want to be Peter Criss, or you want to be Gene Simmons. I mean, these guys were a phenomenon name to name, and that's really how we represent them. We take more of a Beatlemania kind of approach to respecting their legacy, and it's our 27th year now. We're good. Probably into over 3,000 some odd performances and appearances, 49 of 50 states, all of Canada, been to Japan, Korea, South America, Dominican Republic, Mexico.
Okay.
Crowds as large as 50,000 people, if you can imagine that, and with us in the headlining spot. So it's, it's something that we take serious, and I don't mean to be long-winded about it, but we love them one by one by name in this act.
Okay.
And since we were kids, we all grew up, and became musicians, aside from the Kiss thing to begin with, inspired by them and influenced by them in the first place. I mean,
great.
Remember Circus Magazine and things like that, when they'd have these reader polls when we were kids, and seeing that, Peter Criss or Gene Simmons or Ace Frehley, these guys were voted like the number one. This is before the Eddie Van Halen thing, and all that kind of stuff was coming about. And they were, iconic. That's really, why I believe one by one they're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's they really set a phenomenon, upon the world. And and we just try to respect them, as they were in their most, intense chapter of their career.
And people are going to get to see that in person November 14th at 8 o'clock at the Elm on 21 College Avenue in Waterville. And by the way, tickets are still on sale at theelmmaine.com. That's elmme.com. So you are described as the premium Kiss tribute band, and it sounds like you are truly doing a tribute to the band Kiss. Let's dig in a little bit more to, there's so many tribute bands that people are, even though they're hot right now, they're becoming somewhat skeptical. Is this a real good tribute band? So I think you spoke to that in a real way. And let's drill back into that a little bit more. Wanted to get in a little bit deeper into some of the things you were saying in our opener. What was your inspiration to pull together Kiss Army?
It kind of would go back to playing music, being inspired by these guys, in the early, mid-70s to want to start a band one by one in different projects, just playing covers, originals, all through, even through the 80s. And Once, I'd say around the early 90s, when the grunge, per se, or whatever movement was coming in, the Kiss tribute thing was just like the perfect outlet to escape that. You know, none of us were going to really worry about record deal type stuff. We were, you know, we were having our fun doing, you know, individual band projects and playing whatever we were, you know, into at the time, and writing original material as well. But, you know, we weren't, you know, expecting to become the next whatever success original group. We weren't all LA based or anything like that. So when the grunge thing kind of came in, it made perfect sense to do something unique like this. And all of us became, you know, I guess extra dedicated to the purpose of it through the, you know, over the years, and just trying to find it and reshape it. And, you know, it's try to make the better impression every time that you do it. And it's something that we're, you know, we're really proud of. And we've had people, you know, see us in crowds, like, again, a sea of people literally convinced that we are Kiss. We've had that happen so many times and come up. I've had fans come up to me, for example, talking to me saying, I saw you back in 77 in Louisville, Kentucky, which is where I live. I had this happen. We played a month at Universal Studios, and this person was pouring their heart out to me about seeing them in my hometown in 1977. And I didn't have the heart to tell them that I couldn't actually go to that show. I was 11 years old, but thank you so much for, you know, I couldn't break their heart. They were just convinced that we were Kiss.
Yeah.
We have moments like that to where, it, you know, it just shows we go the, you know, extra, you know, deep into the details and the mannerisms. And we try to represent these guys at the pinnacle of their 70s impact. We pretty much stop around the 78 mark in their career.
Okay.
And put the, we kind of specialize in putting the fear of God back into the formula, you know, where people are scared of them. And they've got, you know, they've got some, you know, darker overtones and heavier impact to their, you know, we're that kind of thing. And if you remember back in the day, I don't want to date either one of us, but when you remember back then, you know, there was a time when people were wondering who shot JR and what Kiss looked like without their makeup, and their parents were afraid of them coming to their town. And that's kind of what we try to specialize in, you know, bringing back, you know, to the now from back then. And now it's in the here and now with what's going on with Kiss now, it seems, you know, it's more family, you know, and which, you know, which is great. But when you look back at the history of the group, there was a time where, you know, people were literally afraid of them coming to their town, and they had such a, you know, a bombastic impact, both visually, musically, everything. They were just really a reckless kind of thing coming.
Well, if rock and roll wasn't
enough to represent that,
if rock and roll itself wasn't enough to scare most parents, Kiss certainly added to that dilemma. You know, I do remember, I will date myself. I go back well before 1973 when this New York band took off and all of the masking and everything. I think that's important to note, being a U.S. based band, you know, in a period of time where we had the British invasion in its heydays from the 60s into the 70s, it was everything British. And Kiss really turned, I think, people's heads around a little bit about the fact that a U.S. band could be just as good and just as popular. But although I think the interviews I've read about the early days of Kiss, they gave a lot of attribution to some of the British folks like Eric Clapton and Ginger Baker, God rest his soul, and so on. So there's great back and forth between all of that. But you know, that actually leads to my next question. I mean, you know, you take on the persona of Peter Criss in this band, but there were the two drummers. Of course, Eric Singer didn't make it that many years.
We're talking about Eric Carr.
Eric Carr. I'm sorry. Yeah.
You okay?
Yeah. So how do you prep for that role of Peter Criss? So do you see distinct differences in his style versus the other drummer?
You know, if you've ever seen that movie Rockstar, I've had friends of mine compare me to that main role in that movie more times than I can count.
Okay.
And for reasons like, you know, how I came into this, and I mean, I literally put a drum kit together that convinced me from looking at it that Peter Criss was going to sit behind it. Not maybe, but that he was definitely going to be sitting behind that kit. And that became the artistic neurotic part of me to make sure that that had that in place first. So if people, you know, were there early and they saw the drum set, they knew they were in for something that wasn't playing around. And so I had to convince myself of that visual first and then put myself behind the kit and adapt to playing in his style and without moving anything. I mean, literally, it has to look the part before anything, you know, gets played on it. It's part of the, you know, the whole illusion of it to me. So not everybody goes, you know, I mean, there are tribute bands to all kinds of bands, and not necessarily all of them go that deep into things like this. But for me, it's like if someone's going to take a photo or something of that, or, you know, it's I want them to feel as close to what I felt, as, you know, as a child growing up or a teenager growing up, you know, just enthralled with this whole presentation. I want them to have as much of that same feeling as I had. And when I see kids, you know, in the audience that are, you know, air drumming and whatever, and just staring at, you know, the performance, it would break my heart to not get them a drumstick or try to get them something. And I always try to make sure that I can, you know, provide something for fans like that from that role as well, because I know what it would mean to me if that was, you know, if that were to have happened to me in in the audience. So just giving them as much of a thrill in the visual feeling of it all, you know, all of that is important. I mean, people forget that even without the visual, that Kiss were a great rock band. I mean, their first six studio albums are fantastic rock albums. And I mean, you don't have Eddie Kramer working with you if you're, you know, not up to par.
Right.
People like that, Bob Ezrin, I mean, they were fantastic producers. And
well, that led to the 30,
you know, Jimi Hendrix and Led Zeppelin and other bands of that nature. So Kiss were a band that people, you know, don't really put, I don't know that they really think that much about anymore, about back in the day, of how, you know, how viable of a rock act they were as musicians and songwriters. So we try to make sure that every bit of that is there, you know, in spades as well. So it's a full, you know, a full package kind of thing that we try to go for. And we,
so Steve Clark,
can to remind them of the day.
Steve Clark becomes Peter Criss or the Catman for the entire evening.
Yes.
Great. I'll summarize that for you. You know, so you know, with that in mind, you know, the you know, you're going to be costumed as the Catman, and I assume the entire band takes on their respective roles. You know, Kiss was known for special.
We approach it like an equalizer. We try to pull out any weaknesses that anybody could maybe make reference to on a rough night in their documented career.
Yeah.
And we try to boost up all the greatness of each one of them one by one. And by putting that together and presenting it in that manner, it just makes all the difference in the message that the audience gets from it.
Now, in that period of time, Kiss was also legendary for some of their special effects.
Yes.
Do you have any plan, without giving away the show, do you have any plan for Waterville?
You know, that often varies night to night. And when we go back to... when we go back to days like events that we've done at major theme parks and stuff, they've provided a lot of that kind of stuff. And then we try to make sure it's licensed and operated by a professional team when the majority of that takes place. But since that disaster that happened in Rhode Island with the Great White situation, we're very particular as to when and how and to what scale we do that. And we've put that much more emphasis on the group member to member. You know, to deliver as showmen. So in case you're in any certain situation that can't have all those bells and whistles, that people still see the group and they come up to you and say they felt like they were taken back to 1977, even if you didn't have a flame going off anywhere.
Yep, just so like that young guy did back in St. Louis for you all that time ago.
But there you go.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I think that's what gives people a sense of what they can expect on November 14th at 8 o'clock at the Elm, on College Avenue, 21 College Avenue. And if you want, tickets are still available, theelmme.com. Our guest today is Steve Clark. So, Steve, there's quite a set list. I mean, with 30 gold albums, I think that's the record for any band in America. You've got quite a set list to choose from. But it sounds like you harken back to the earlier days back in the 70s and early 80s.
We stay primarily up to 1978, and we structure it around that late 76, early 77 to 78 time period in set list material. So we try to stay as true to form as it was originally kind of presented upon, you know, their audience, at that peak.
So people can expect to hear songs like Parasite, Black Diamond, Rock and Roll All Night, you know, the great stuff from that period of time.
As well as King in a Nighttime World and Shock Me. And, you know, there's a lot of great material in the show.
Do you have a personal favorite?
You know, as a drummer, I have to make them all my favorite.
You better, right?
You know what I mean? You can't really be the engine and putter out on some of it. So you got to really show as much love from one song to the next as you possibly can. And that's really how I approach it. And I loved all of the material back in the day too. So it's my pleasure to have that whatever you want to call it, the delivery of it. And to me, if you can't take off from where you left off, what do you got? So literally going back to formula night after night, it's like, bring it, or what are you doing there?
Well, I'm going to look forward to seeing you that night and hearing and watching your performance. So, you know, you've traveled all over the world with this band. You do, what, 200 to 300 shows a year in that range?
We have had some years that have been as busy as 300 shows in a year, and then we've had others that have been in the 100-plus a year. And then right now we're working towards a finale kind of goal, if you will, like a full-on licensed production and at a specific location. And that's something that may happen here within the next year or two that makes us something that you can see two or three times a night at certain places. So, but I don't want to give too much of that away.
Well, that's a teaser. That's a teaser for us.
There we go.
So have you had any endorsements from anybody from KISS at this point?
Absolutely. One by one, we've got rave reviews by them over the years. They've kind of checked in with our progress at different points, and we're not one of those groups that really tugs on their sleeve per se whenever they got a new product or something coming out. We tend to work on it behind the scenes, and you know, next time somebody sees us, they're just that much more into what we're, you know, where we've taken it. So
great. Well, that sounds great. Well, people are certainly going to be in for a great night. Again, November 14th, 8 o'clock at the Elm in Waterville, 21 College Avenue. And you can still get tickets at theelmme.com. Well, our guest today has been Steve Clark, a.k.a. Peter Criss, or the Catman, however you want to go by it. So, Steve, thanks so much for joining us today. And we look forward to seeing and hearing you live on November 14th.
Absolutely. And it's KISS Army, the coolest band in the world. That's how you would find us on Facebook. Definitely give us a like there as well.
Oh, we'll definitely send people that way. KISS Army. All
the
right.
The coolest band in the world.
The coolest band in the world. All right.
That's right.
I like that. All right, Steve. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.